extrapolate a vision. Because the vision is about where we want to get to. It's about what God has called us to achieve. And so when we know what that call upon our lives, what the call is, then we'll be able to articulate the vision. But for as long as we do not know what the call is, for as long as we're just going through the motions day by day by day, there is no way we can ever articulate a vision. If every day you wake up and you say, Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. You come back at night, Father, thank you. I did not fall off Okada today. Nothing happened to me. I wanted to drink water. I got water to drink. If that is all we are doing day by day by day, then there's no point. There is just no point. Remember the first module. We said we start each day by saying what? Today my purpose is. And then at the end of each day, what should we say? Thank you, Lord, because today I have achieved. And I wonder how many of us are doing that day by day by day. So can somebody help me? What did you say to God today? Today my purpose is. Today my purpose is to preach. Sister Doyin says to offer unto him a spiritual sacrifice. Today my purpose is. I've said to God today my purpose is. I'm affecting one life today. And I've decided the life that I will affect today. And at the end of it, I want to be able to say I have affected that life. That's my purpose today. As I was leaving the house, I said, God, today there's one thing I must do. And by God's grace, I will achieve it. If I do not achieve it, I'm not going back to my house today. And God knows it. Praise the Lord. So please let us remember that each day we want to start that way. And it's only when we do that we then start affecting our environment. We start even having an impact, and then we find out that our lives have got meaning. Just living from one day to another, brethren, your life has no meaning. Your life has no meaning. Praise the Lord. The next slide, please. Technical, help me. Next slide. It's not coming up. Okay. Believe it or not, I took this photograph myself. You remember I lived in Kenya for some years. And Kenya is very famous for the safaris. And so I went on a safari. And this lion was just sitting there nicely and quietly. And I used my little camera and I photographed him. He couldn't be bothered by the human beings around. He couldn't be bothered by the distractions around. And we were not the only ones who were there. There were so many vehicles around. The one whose back you see was actually fast asleep. He would open his eyes and look like, these human beings, what are you people doing? And he will continue sleeping. But you know why I have the lion there? Because the lion is focused. Because the lion has a vision. Because the lion goes for the kill. If a lion decides that he wants to bring down an animal, you should see the lion in action. Until he achieves it, he will not give up. How many of us are that focused? How many of us set out and say, that is what I want to achieve? And until I achieve it, I am not going to give up. And when you see the lion bring down an animal, you will salute that lion. And you'll know why we say that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's not a joke, brethren. When you see the lion in the wild doing his thing, then you'll understand it. Praise the Lord. Next slide. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Miles Monroe, who is one of my favorite Christian leadership people, says leadership is born when you discover your purpose for being. You cannot be a leader if you do not know what your purpose is. You cannot be a leader if you do not understand the call upon your life. If you call yourself a leader, but you do not understand that call upon your life, then you are not a leader. What is the call upon your life? And how are you pursuing it? So once you understand that call, what that call is upon your life, then you go all out to pursue it. And that is when you can call yourself a leader. No matter what happens, no matter what gets in the way, you pursue it. And as we go through this module, we'll realize that Jesus, who is our role model, actually understood his purpose. He knew what the call upon his life was. He had a vision and nothing stopped him. Nothing whatsoever stopped him until he achieved that call upon his life. So brethren, let us remember that leadership is born when you discover your purpose for being and you commit to pursue it at all costs. So there are two things. You discover your purpose, you discover what your call is, and then you go all out for it. It's a journey. It's not an event. And so you go step by step by step. You have a vision and you say, these are the goals towards achieving the vision. And you have milestones. In the secular world, we say when you achieve one of your milestones, you celebrate. So even if it's you, yourself, and just yourself, me, myself, and I, there are times I'm at home and I'm just singing and I'm celebrating. Why? Because I have achieved something. You don't have to call a big party to celebrate. You can celebrate by yourself. And then after celebrating, go to bed and sleep, fall asleep, and you'll feel happy. Praise the Lord. Next slide. So understanding God's call for my life. How do we understand God's call? How do I understand God's call for my life? What do I need to do to understand God's call for my life? As leaders, we have said it already today, we need to understand God's call. We need to be able to identify the call. There are certain things that we have to do. Before we can understand God's call upon our lives, there are things we have to do. The first is that we do everything as unto God. If you are doing something to please the pastor, you've missed it. You've missed it. I know we keep saying it. I know that we believe that we know it, but we need to search ourselves and ask ourselves if we are really doing these things to please God or if it's to please man. Is it head knowledge or is it heart knowledge? There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. You know it in your head. And so you think that you know it. You believe that you know it. But in your heart, what do you really believe? In your heart, what do you really do? So in your head, you know that whatever you do, you should do unto God. You shouldn't be doing it to please Pastor Tosi. You shouldn't be doing it to please Pastor Ayodeji. You should be doing it, and we understand that. But in our hearts, do we really do things that way? That's just a question. I want us to examine ourselves. I was listening to a message yesterday, and I believe it was Pastor Adeboye. And he said, you know, sometimes as leaders, we cheat ourselves. We underpay our tithes. And he says, it's like we are insulting, not even like, he says we are insulting God when we do it. Because we are saying, God, you don't know how to calculate 10%. He says that's how low we bring God. So the tithe you have paid, are you paying it so that Pastor Tosin will see your name and say, oh, he has paid his tithe. She has paid her tithe. She's a good servant of God. If that is your aim, you have achieved it. But the one who knows all things and sees all things is much more important than Pastor Tosin. Pastor Tosin may not know how much it is that you earn. And so whatever he sees, he believes that it is 10%. But God knows. And God knows how to calculate more than you know how to. So that's an aside, but it's also very important. Let's stop cheating God. Let's stop taking God for granted. Let's stop assuming that there are things we can get away with. And Pastor Adewale said, we just cut short our lifespan. We diminish the blessings that God would have poured out on us. And then we wonder why we're not making progress. These are the little things. The foxes that spoil the vine. So let's remember to do everything as unto God. And then secondly, we need to stretch ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves. When you do things and you don't feel stretched, then you need to ask yourself. If you're doing things and you feel comfortable and you remain in your comfort zone, then you want to know that it's probably not, that is not the call upon your life. When you do something that makes you feel uncomfortable, that makes you go the extra mile, then you know. When there's a sacrifice involved, then you know that there is a call upon your life. And whatever you do in love. As you're stretching yourself, you're doing it in love. If you're not doing it in love and you're grumbling, then please forget it. Because you'll never get a blessing. Nothing will come to you from it. And then we need to have the right attitude to material things. A lot of us feel, okay, God has called me to do this. But you know what? I don't have the finances. You know what? I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the time. Again, let's remember that we need to stretch ourselves. If you have all the finances to do, because even, look, no matter how much money you have, it is never enough. And that's the truth. Because there's always something that you want to do. You always want to do more. You always want to do more. So if you're waiting to have as much money as X, it will never happen. Because when you get that money that X has, there's something that has followed it. So with the little you have, start stretching out. Start stretching yourself. With the limited time you have, stretch yourself. We have to invest in the things of God. And investing is not just about money. It's not everyone who is called to put money in. For some of us, it could be our time. For some of us, it could be our talent. For some of us, it could be anything at all. So let's start investing in the things of God. And then to understand God's call for my life, I need to study the word. I need to study the word because that is the only way that I can get to know what is the acceptable, what is acceptable unto God, what is the perfect will of God for my life. And then above all, when God calls you, you need to trust him. You need to trust him because when you start looking away, then that is when things go awry. That's when things just scatter. We need to trust God. Next slide. We're still talking about understanding God's call. And to know God's call for you, you need to seek his face in solitude. That means it's you. Me, myself, and I. It's the case of God. Until you speak, I'm not going to move. Until you tell me where I should be going, I'm not going to move. We need to strive for higher levels. It's a bit like stretch yourself. If you stay where you are, if you remain at that level, then you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to grow. I remember when my girls were little. and I will wake them in the morning, and they will, and I used to sing a song. I'll go stretch and grow, reach for the stars. And I'll say, here comes Jupiter. And I'd say to them, grab Jupiter here. There goes Mars. I'll say, Mars is running away. Grab Mars. And I said to them, that's the only way you can grow tall. And today that they're adults, they remember and they laugh. And they say, Mommy, you used to tell us that that was the only way we could grow tall. See, but we are still short women. And I'm like, yes, maybe you'd have been shorter if I hadn't made you do that. But we strive for higher levels. No matter how uncomfortable it is, we strive for higher levels. We need to be well informed. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We need to be well informed. The time we spend on other things, we can spend studying the word. We can spend reading Christian leadership books. We can spend reading even some secular leadership books. Because quite honestly, when you look at those secular leadership books and you think about the Bible and you think about Christian leadership books, they're all linked. They are all linked. The time we spend sitting in front of the TV watching Africa Magic. My niece calls it Amy. Africa Magic Yoruba. Mm-hmm. With all the wonderful things that go on there. We can do better. We can do better. Let us be well informed. The things that profit, the things that will make a difference, the things that will make us grow spiritually, mentally, those are the things that we need to spend time on. Again, we are saying trust God implicitly. There is nothing you can do if you do not trust God, if you do not hold on to God, if you do not say, Father, I hand it all over to you. You have called me, I have not called myself, and so I'm going to go out with you. I'm going to go the extra mile. And then we need to be led by and obey the Holy Spirit. And you'll find out that there I have put the name Nehemiah. One of the things I say when I speak with leaders is, if you really want to understand what leadership, Christian leadership is about, please study the book of Nehemiah. It's a short book. But you need to spend time on the book of Nehemiah. And if you go to Nehemiah chapter 1, that will be our homework against the next Sunday. If you go to Nehemiah chapter 1, you will see that all these things we have talked about were exhibited by Nehemiah. They were all characteristics exhibited by Nehemiah when he had to go back to build the wall. As leaders, please let us spend time to study the book of Nehemiah. If you truly want to be a Christian leader and you have not studied the book of Nehemiah, then you haven't started. There's a lot in there. It's a very loaded book. Praise the Lord. The last slide for today, because of our time. Next slide, please. Still understanding God's call for my life. We say to have a call, we must be able to glimpse, just to catch a glimpse. You don't have to see everything. When you catch a glimpse of God's vision for you, then you're like, no, I'm not going to let go. I will not let go. Can somebody just read Ephesians 1, 17 to 20? Ephesians 1, 17 to 20, please. Technical, please don't go away from where we are because I don't want to... Praise the Lord. Thank you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Praise the Lord. Just a glimpse. You need to understand those verses are loaded. But when you truly understand what those verses mean, then you will say, you know what? I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to miss this. There was a man of God who said he opened this his Bible to this page permanently for months, and he kept praying with it. And when the transformation came, he couldn't believe it. How many of us pray with these verses of scripture? Again, it's something I would encourage us to do. A leader never says never. He asks, why not? You are asked to do something, and you go, I can't do it. It's not possible. But a leader never says never. A leader will always ask, why can I not do it? Let's look at the people who, the guy who created electricity. Do you know how many times he failed? Esther, how many times did he fail? Because I can see your lips moving. The teens should know that. How many times did he try? Huh? Two? No way. Over and over and over again. If he had said never, maybe what we're enjoying today, we won't have it. But he kept asking himself, why not? Why not? Why not? Until he discovered electricity. Again, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not say never. He said, why not? What do I need to do to be able to build this wall? And he went on. Jesus, who is our role model, understood his calling and responsibility to accomplish it. Even when he knew Judas was going to betray him, he didn't run back. He didn't say, I'm not going to go there today because Judas is going to be there and I don't want to be betrayed. That's what a lot of us will do. Oh, you know what? That sister, I don't have energy for her today. I don't have energy for her wahala, so I'm not even going to go near her. I'm not going to encounter her. Jesus did not say that. Even when he knew that Judas would betray him, he went on. He knew what his calling was, and he knew what his responsibility was to accomplish it. A leader's highest calling is to please God and love people. Can somebody quickly read Matthew 22:36-40? 36 to 40. Matthew 22:36-40. Tochukwu, help me. Praise the Lord. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Everything that you have, love the Lord. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So a leader's highest calling is twofold. One, you want to please God, you want to love God, because if you really love God, you will please him. you'll do everything to please him. And the second is to love people. The greatest commandment is love. And on these two things, verse 40 says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang your call as a leader. Hang your call as a servant of God. Brethren, a leader never ever quits. You won't start a journey and say, this is too hard, this is too difficult, this is not for me. Even the Bible says, once you have put your hand on the plow, you don't look back. There is no looking back. A leader never quits. You have your goals as a leader. And you're saying, these are the goals. And then you have the staying power to pursue those goals, to make sure that you achieve those goals. And it's only then you can say you are a leader. If at the slightest turbulence, you give up and you say, that is it, no more, then you're not a leader. If at the slightest shaking, you say, this is not for me, you turn back, you are not a leader. The Lord will help us as we move forward. We'll stop here today, and then next week, remember the homework. What's the homework? Nehemiah chapter 1. So we'll start by calling on any one of us to take us